The house in Fox Point has been the subject of debate and controversy in recent years. It's no ordinary house. For many decades, it was home to the artist Mary Knoll, whose many unique pieces of art dot the front yard. But after her death in 2001, there have been questions over what to do with the property, fueled by tensions between art-seeking tourists and frustrated neighbors who weren't keen about the increased traffic to the area. A relocation of the property is now in the works, a move that's being challenged by some preservationists. But just who was Mary Knoll, and what does the future hold for this unique property? Joining us now to discuss these questions is Barbara Monger. She's a Milwaukee-based artist and printmaker. She's the author of Mary Knoll, Inside and Outside, Biography of the Artist, and she recently co-authored the children's version of that book called Mary Knoll, A Lifetime in Art. Barbara, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking me.
Well, so let's start with some background. Who was Mary Knoll?
Well, she was an artist who lived her life completely devoted to her art, and she has been called a variety of things, from sophisticated, naive, an outsider artist, vernacular artist, and more recently, art environment builder. In spite of her classical training at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, she appeared to ignore this and worked from her pure creative self in a very personal style, and was free of any desire to be part of the mainstream of art or of life at large. And she defined herself as just an artist, although she was also given the title with the Witch of Fox Point, which I don't think she minded too much.
Well, can you paint us a picture? If you were a passerby or driving by this property as your everyday neighborhood, I guess, and then you saw what at her house?
Well, driving by, you would first see a chain link fence, and until several years ago, it was topped by coils of barbed wire to keep out the vandals who were attracted to her yard. And within the fence were 1 3/3 wooded acres that were covered with about 75 pieces of sculpture, mostly concrete sculpture, from heads to dinosaurs to smiling dogs and tall figures and kind of replicas of ruins. And these surrounded a small, modest cottage. It actually was a prefab house that was put there in 1943. And it's a humble little house, but it's embellished with fish and figures and hanging carved heads at the doorway, a door knocker that Mary carved that looks like a hand, and in the trees are hanging the profiles of many faces. They're about 3 feet high, and they originally were she made as part of a fence of 400 of these profiles. And also hanging in the trees are wind chimes. So when you walk by the house, you hear these chimes tinkling, and you hear the waves washing up on the beach, and you really get a sense of where Mary's iconography came from. It's mostly fish and boats, little people in boats, and they all come from her love of the lake and from the place where she created these.
Clearly a different kind of house, a different kind of person. Is that, you mentioned that some in the neighborhood jokingly, maybe seriously, thought of her as the witch of the neighborhood. Is that where that came from?
Well, I think the children and teenagers who were attracted and also frightened by her house and yard gave her that name. And I think it was not without good reason. She was a kind of a tall figure who was always working out in the yard when the weather was good, or maybe up on the roof, adding things to the house. And she was a very frugal person. And when her clothes got old, she painted them and just kind of spruced them up. And I think her physical presence was a little intimidating, as well as the appearance of the house. And the house, the trees have grown up around the yard, and so it's kind of shadowy, shady, and has a kind of haunting appearance. So probably was a logical term to to call her this.
What was she like as a person, not just viewed from, you know, across the other side of that chain link fence?
Well, she was worldly and well-read and well-traveled, and she loved music. She was very well-educated, 6 years at the School of the Art Institute. She was also not exactly a recluse, but she chose to use her time in very rigid discipline ways. She plotted out a daily schedule for herself and stuck to it almost all of the time, with definite times allotted to various activities. There would be working in the yard, there'd be painting, there'd be an hour of guitar practice. For a few years, she studied elocution. So she had a very, very disciplined lifestyle. And it often was to the exclusion of contact with people. She was friendly, and I think kindly, and if people were respectful, she invited them into her yard and as well as into her house. So she was a fascinating person, a curious person, and I've never met anyone who was more disciplined than she. She was completely dedicated to her art, driven to make art.
So since she passed away in 2001, there's been some controversy surrounding her house and what to do with it. Can you give us a sense of what's happened to the house?
Well, since her death in 2001, the John Michael Kohler Art Center and before them the Kohler Foundation have been working diligently to find a solution that is both agreeable to the neighbors and also honors the work that Mary created. And this has been difficult. The neighbors have been very resistant, really adamantly resistant, to having the house open in any way, shape, or form to the public. The Kohler, John Michael Kohler Art Center made efforts to, they presented a plan to the neighbors saying how they would improve the property and enclose it in a different way, and there would be very limited access to the property by scholars and other visitors coming down with a small van that would park in a new parking lot within the fence, and the neighbors were completely opposed to doing this. I think the John Michael Kohler Art Center has been diligent and sensitive to the wishes of the neighbors. But in my view, the neighbors are viewing her site as, rather than as a jewel in the crown, a blight on the landscape. And it is quite different than the surrounding McMansions and very manicured lawns of the neighbors.
Now, I understand. I want to get to the latest part of the story. The Kohler Arts Center, I understand, will be taking the house apart piece by piece, relocating it and the sculptures and the art pieces up to Sheboygan County. That's the solution they have to maintain it. But some people are saying, well, the art is where it is. It's the place that's part of what defines it. So what do you make of that?
Well, I certainly understand the wishes of the people in Milwaukee who really feel kind of an ownership of this property. And, you know, so many people have grown up with it and are and love it and have and visit there regularly. And ideally, it would be kept in its place, the place where it was created and from the place from which all the images have sprung. And I certainly think it's my opinion that keeping it there would be the ideal in whatever form that could be. And I think I know of the plan to move it, and I don't know that that is a firm plan. I think that the issue is still under discussion by the board of the John Michael Kohler Art Center, and I would hope that they can work toward a solution that will allow it to remain in the place where it was created, because it's not just a house and a bunch of sculpture. It's a site that's rooted to and deeply connected to the land and the lake on which it was made.
And briefly, as we wrap up, does Mary Knoll still have a continued impact, a legacy for the Milwaukee art scene?
Well, she certainly does. It's not only this monument to her achievement on the site that she created, and also a monument to the creative spirit, but she was a very wealthy woman besides all of her other characteristics, and she was very frugal and watched her investments like a hawk and preserved her inheritance. So on her death, before her death, she had bequeathed her estate to the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. So that was $11.3 million, even though she made her own paintbrushes out of her own hair and used library paste to smooth down her bangs and did every other possible frugal effort that she could. She managed to maintain this inheritance so that now the...
Barbara, that's an amazing story. Thanks so much for joining us today. That was Barbara Monger. She is a Milwaukee-based artist, printmaker, and author who's written two books on the life of Mary Knoll.